This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome to the Employment Law Show. Yeah, we'd love to have you on air with us. Be that third voice. Contribute. Ask your questions. Never be shy. Never be bashful. We'd love to get you on with us here. John Scholes, along with Yoris Samfiru. And that number to call in, toll-free, of course, 1-877-399-9898. 1-877-399-9898. Lines are open. We're ready to take your calls. If it's a simple severance question, we can handle it. Problem with the boss, harassment, we can handle it. Been let go, haven't been given any severance, we can handle it. Bring it on. Give us a call this afternoon, and we'd love to talk to you. We are ready to roll to reach out beyond the hour of the show. That is to get a hold of Lior and his team. That's 1-855-821-5900. And there's also help at employmentlawyer.ca. We'll give you more contact throughout the show. We got lots to get through on the show today. In fact, when is a resignation not really a resignation? That's on the way in just a bit. But Lior, we always start off with a couple things you've been working on, pal. What do you say?
Hey, Johnny, I can tell you that usually this time of year, kind of in the last, you know, month and a half or so before the end of the year, things usually slow down in my office. But this year, for reasons that I'm not necessarily sure of, it hasn't. And it's been busier than ever. Some of it may have to do with the fact that, as some experts are predicting, we're going into a bit of a recession period, perhaps. And that may impact jobs and companies letting people go. I've seen more terminations than I have over the past few months, just over the past few weeks. And I can tell you, John, almost without exception, those severance offers that have come across my way, and I review them every day, all day long, those severance offers have not been adequate, not even close to being adequate. And if it is true that we're going into a recession, it's more important than ever that you get everything you're owed in terms of that severance. So if you lost your job, like so many, unfortunately, people have over the past few weeks, it's important, more important than ever, that you give me a call. Let's talk about it. Let's make sure that we discuss what you're owed. A good place to start is right now on the show. Call us right now. Ask the question. If you lost your job, if you thought you did, or you expected you will, whatever that issue or problem, I can help. We can answer those questions. Or maybe it has nothing to do with losing your job. You're just worried that your boss is not doing things properly. Maybe there's a new policy in the workplace. I get that often. Can they implement that policy? How do you comply with it? What happens if you don't comply with it? Whatever the issue or the question, if it has to do with your job, your work, your boss, this is the opportunity you have to ask the question, to call right now, and to get some help. And to get us started with the types of cases that are, or at least questions that I've been getting, let me tell you some situations that came across my desk. John, I spoke with a gentleman that for the past 8 months had worked a regular 9-to-5 job. You know, your standard kind of come in at 9, leave at 5, take your 45-minute break in the middle of the day, come back the next day, do the same thing. Decent pay, all is fine. The only thing that was different about this person is that he actually was hired through a temp agency. Okay. So when he recently lost his job, I told you a lot of people are losing their jobs, unfortunately. The company said, well, no, you're a temp employee through a temp agency. You're not really our employee, so we don't have to pay you anything. No severance. We can just say goodbye to you. Well, luckily, he didn't take that at face value, and instead he called me. And he wanted to know, very simply, is that right? Am I not getting severance because I was hired through a temp agency? So, John, let's be very clear here. Yes, of course, he gets severance. He gets his full severance. He is not really a temp employee. A temp employee is someone that, you know, through a temp agency, is sent to this company one day, the next company the other day, and kind of goes back and forth different places as he's needed. If you're working somewhere for 8 months like this guy, regular hours, you're an employee of the company. You're a regular employee. It doesn't matter if you were hired through a temp agency. It doesn't matter if the temp agency is actually the one paying you, if the money comes out of their bank account. If you look like an employee and if you act like an employee, you are an employee. And that means, in this case, he gets severance. Of course he gets severance. In fact, I assessed him as being owed about 3 months severance. 3 months. That's a lot of compensation that he's owed. I'm going to help him get that. But I wanted to remind everyone there that you can't be deprived your legal rights by calling you a temp employee. You can't be deprived your legal rights by calling you a contractor, independent contractor. None of that works. If you have a job and you lost a job, you are owed severance. And all these other ways to try to characterize your relationship with the company makes no sense, doesn't change anything. If you're not sure, if you lost your job, if you want to know what you're owed, hey, great time to call us right now or call me at the office.
Lior's right, that number right now, toll free, 1-877-399-9898, and help at employmentlawyer.ca is how that's going to happen. What's the second matter you got thinking of, Lior?
Well, I got a call from a lady who recently was put on a temporary layoff. The company she was working for had slowed down significantly, and her employer said, listen, It's we expect that over the holidays to be slow, but we do think that after the holidays it's going to pick up. So our intention was or is to call you back to work after the holidays. And yeah, she could actually see that it's true. The business was slowing down. They weren't doing as well. They weren't very busy. So she knew that her employer is not lying. But she still wanted to call me because for her it was a big deal. She's not going to be working. She's not going to be earning income. She's going to have to try to live off EI for several months. Not an easy thing to do. So she called me and wanted to understand her rights. So hopefully our regular listeners know what I'm about to say. But here's what I'm going to say, that despite the fact that there's a potentially legitimate business reason for putting her on a temporary layoff, it doesn't matter. A temporary layoff can be treated by the employee as a termination of employment. In other words, she does not have to accept or agree to this temporary layoff. She can consider it and treat it as a termination and say, that's it. By you putting me on a temporary layoff, it's as if you let me go. And because you let me go, you have to pay me my severance. She has been with this company for over 3.5 years. She could be owed as much as 6 months severance. I'm going to help her get that. She'd rather get that severance, have that payment, and move on rather than hope that in a few months she's going to be called back to work. So a very important reminder for all our listeners there. If you're put on a temporary layoff, even if the company is honest about the reasons, even if they have a good business reason for doing so, you still have a right to treat that as a termination of employment. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to sit at home, wait to be called back. You can make that decision yourself. And if you do want to do that, the way to start is to reach out to me.
And to reach out to Lior, I'll keep giving this out throughout the hour here. It's 1-855-821-5900, help at employmentlawyer.ca. Also a great website built for you just to use and learn a lot more. Reach out with contact and have access to our severance calculator. It's pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. But here and now we got open lines. We're ready. We're live. And it's 1-877-399-9898. But in between that, our topic for the day, Lior, as you know, when is a resignation not really a resignation? So how about this? What is a real resignation? And does one get severance if they resign? Is there that situation?
Yeah, so before we start about talking about kind of fake resignations and resignations that are not legitimate, let's start by explaining what a real resignation is, a true, honest, real resignation. Well, a resignation is a decision that an employee makes to leave their job. Now, what's important here is that the employee is the only one that can make that decision. That employee has to have made the decision voluntarily, unilaterally. In other words, no one told them to do it. No one forced them to do it. No one put them in a situation where they felt like they had to do it. The employee, for their own reason, decided, you know what, I don't want to work here. Maybe it's because they want to take another job, or they want to retire, or they want to spend more time with the family. Whatever the reason is, it's their reason they've made that decision. Now, if the employee makes that decision on their own, in other words, if it's a true resignation, then that employee is not owed severance. Severance is not paid if you make the decision to resign. So that's how it works with a true resignation. Now, that is different than what we're going to be talking about, kind of what I call fake resignations, where you haven't made the decision yourself. The decision was kind of made for you, and you felt like you didn't have a choice but to resign. So we want to talk about what happens if, yeah, you've resigned or you feel like you have to resign, but it's not because you want to. It's not because you're choosing to. It's because something happened that makes you. I call that a fake resignation. It's not really a resignation. So stay tuned for that in case you've ever wondered what your rights are in that situation.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Yeah, you bet. We're back. So good to have you along for the hour. Yeah, 1-877-399-9898. You want to make that call. That is the number to call now, as we're doing it toll-free and live to get your questions on the air. And we're talking about resignation. What is really resignation? When is it not a resignation? Just some broad strokes to get back into this, Lior. What is it when it's real? And how about the severance on the other end? No?
So we talked about the fact that a real resignation is something that someone does voluntarily and unilaterally. Mm-hmm. And yep. If they do, then severance is not paid. Now, the opposite of that is what I call a fake resignation. So a fake resignation, as opposed to a real one, is a situation where someone may have resigned. They may have uttered the words, I'm gone, I'm leaving, I'm quitting. But they didn't do that because they wanted to. It wasn't voluntary. They were threatened to do it. They were told they had to. They were put in a position where there was not many other choices. In those cases, if the person resigns because of that, it's not a real resignation. The law would consider that to be a termination. So yes, even though the employee is saying, okay, oh, fine, I'll quit, I get it, I quit, the law says, well, not so fast. Even though you said those words, you did it because your boss told you you had to, they expect your resignation, or because something happened to your job or you felt you didn't have a choice. Well, because we understand that it's not something you really wanted to do, we're going to say that's not a resignation. It's as if you were let go and therefore you are owed severance. So yes, you could be in a situation where you've said the words, I'm gone, I'm quitting, and the law says, no, you've been terminated, severance has to be paid. And that's the key. With a real resignation, something that you do voluntarily, no severance. With a fake resignation, a resignation where you are forced into, you do get severance. In fact, you could get your full severance up to 24 months pay. So if you've ever been in that situation where your boss told you, you have to resign, I expect a resignation, I demand it, or yeah, they did something to your job, your pay, your compensation, that you had to resign. Well, you actually didn't resign in that situation. The law says the company let you go, and the company owes you severance.
Again, 1-877-399-9898, the number to call in and talk to us through the course of the rest of the hour. We'd love to get you on air. What happens? You go into work one day, you're just at the end of your rope, and you blow your stack and say, "I've had enough. I'm out of here. I can't take this anymore." And then go home, have a cup of coffee, and go, you know what, Lior? I shouldn't have done that. What happens then?
Believe it or not, those types of heat-of-the-moment resignations happen often. And one of the very first cases I ever worked on as a lawyer 20 years ago was kind of a heat-of-the-moment resignation. I've done many of them over the years. And oftentimes how it plays out is, the employee is at work, maybe he's talking to the boss, frustrated, maybe some words were exchanged, and that's it. Employee says, I've had enough, I'm gone, I'm out of here, I'm leaving. And feeling really good, the employee goes, packs up their stuff, goes home, still feeling pretty good. By the time the employee gets home, not feeling so good anymore. Oh my gosh, what did I do? Yeah. Well, the law understands that stuff can happen in the heat of the moment. Therefore, if you resign in the heat of the moment, you have an opportunity to take it back. And what I mean by that, you can change your mind and tell the company, that was heat of the moment, didn't mean it, I want to come back to work. Now, you only have a fairly small window to do this. You'd have to do this within a couple of days. Otherwise, you're considered to have accepted it. But if you do it within a couple of days before the company is able to replace you or really rely on that resignation, the company has to take you back. And if they don't take you back, they may say, no, we heard you say the words, you resign, you're not coming back here. Well, then the law says, okay, that's fine, but now it's a termination. Even though the employee resigned, they walked home, they packed up their office, your refusal, employer, to take them back means you've terminated them. Now you owe them severance. Remember, you can only take it back if you do it very quickly. If you try to take it back a month later, too late. By then, the company has relied on it. They can accept that resignation. But if you've kind of were, the end of your rope, and maybe you just had a bad day and you said you resigned, you can take it back as long as you do it quickly.
How about this thinking, though, that sometimes it's like, or you may be told by your boss, look, I'm going to give you the chance to resign because it's going to look better on your record that you did that rather than having me fire you. You don't want that on your permanent record in some national archive or wherever everybody thinks it is. So they go, oh, you know what? I don't want that blemish for sure. I resign. It looks better. How about that?
Yeah. You know, the National Resignation Archive. Doesn't everyone know about that?
That's it. That's the one.
Yeah. No. So, you know, we're laughing here, but there isn't such a thing. There is no archive. There is no database. There is no spreadsheet. Nothing where there's a record of whether you resigned or whether you were let go. So let's be very clear here. It's not better to resign than to be let go. There is no value. There is no benefit. You don't somehow get something. The only thing that happens if you resign is, number one, it's going to be harder to get your severance, number one. And number two, you actually don't get EI because you've resigned. So you're losing on both fronts. So you're actually better off to be let go. If the company doesn't want you to work there, then the company should be letting you go, paying you severance, giving you a record of employment that allows you to get EI, doing it the legal way. I've heard so many times exactly what John just said. An employer saying to an employee, yeah, we're going to let you go, but we're going to give you an opportunity to resign. It's better for you. Nonsense. It's not better for you. It's worse for you. Now, here's kind of the exception. If you did something terrible, I don't know, you stole from the company, well, yeah, you may as well at that point just resign, because if you're let go, you're going to be let go for cause. You wouldn't be qualified for EI or severance, any of it. But unless you stole, you hit someone, you committed fraud, if the company wants you gone, they should let you go. Don't make it easier for them. Don't give them a gift by you resigning. You can say, no thanks, you want to let me go, that's up to you, but I'm going to continue working otherwise. You want to preserve your severance and you want to preserve your EI.
Yeah, because they're going to say, we suggest you resign. It might come down to, you have to resign. Please leave now. You are resigned because I just told you to. I mean, people are going to panic. I mean, same thing in that case as well, right? No, I'm not doing it.
Exactly. And it's easy to think, well, the boss told me I have to resign. He's the boss. Well, no. Mm-hmm. Your boss can, you know, let you go. Absolutely, your boss can let you go. They have to pay severance. They have to comply with the law. But the only one that can decide if you resign is you, by definition. Okay? That's how it is. So if your boss tells you, no, I insist you resign, you say, no, I'm not going to resign. Thank you, but no. I'm going to continue working unless you, employer, tell me that you're letting me go. Otherwise, I'm here. I'm working.
How about if it's a situation where you go back and you say, you know, you told me to resign. I just listened to a radio show that was really informative. I'm not resigning. You let me go. Therefore, you fired me. They go, prove it. Where's your proof?
Yes, well, and that is actually a problem, because if you don't have a letter in writing saying that you've resigned or that the company lets you go, it's going to be a he said, she said situation. So if you think that your employer did that to you, your employer told you you had to, I want you to send an email to your employer saying, employee, I confirm you today where you told me to resign. That's why I resigned. Confirm to your employer in writing that what you did is because of what they did. You didn't just resign because you wanted to look for another job. You resigned because they told you. So if you're going to do that, first of all, my suggestion is don't. Even if you feel like you had to resign, do not do that. But if you can't do it anymore, you want to resign, send that email, send that text message to your employer confirming that you're only doing it because they told you to. You're only doing it because they gave you that ultimatum. If you do that, I can still help you. I can still get you your severance and all the compensation that you're owed, including EI. So be smart. Do that. Don't just resign and hope that you can get your compensation otherwise. You can't. You need to have that email.
Maybe it's not the fact that you've resigned. Maybe not because you don't like the place, but something happened at work, right? Like, who knows what it is, made it difficult to continue working. What's your steps to take at that point?
So that's when we get into constructive dismissal. Constructive dismissal happens when there's a change in the terms of your employment that makes it difficult to continue working. You've been demoted, your hours have changed, your pay has changed, or something else happens that makes it difficult to continue working. The law recognizes that if you resign in the face of something bad like that happen, that is a termination. That's not a resignation. It's a constructive dismissal. So before you resign in that situation, I want you to call me so we can do this right. The law says constructive dismissal. you're owed severance.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
And welcome back to the Employment Law Show. Indeed, you still got some time, some minutes to give us a call, get on air, ask your questions. Don't be bashful. This is the opportunity during the week to do so. Beyond calling Lior outside the hour of the show, to get on air toll-free, 1-877-399-9898. But beyond that, never hesitate to reach out to Lior. He's got a great team with him as well. Of course, 1-855-821-5900, help@employmentlawyer.ca is where you're going to go with that. We're just talking about and finishing up the topic for the day, Lior, and that is, what is a resignation is not really a resignation. There's always some confusion about this, especially when your boss is putting some pressure on you for sure to do exactly that. So how much time does an employee have to resign in that type of situation where the workplace has been made difficult and they want to get out of there and they want to resign, but it's a bit of a sticky situation, right?
So we talked before the break about constructive dismissal, which really is a resignation as a result of some change or some difficulty being imposed on you in the workplace. So, you know, to recap, a couple of examples may be a change in pay or a demotion, change in hours. It could even be a situation where you can't really continue working because you're being mistreated, harassed, bullied. All those things, if you resign because of them, the law says, no, that's a constructive dismissal. It means that you've been terminated, now you have to get paid, now you get severance, even though you're the one that ultimately left the company. So to do that, to pursue that constructive dismissal, you have to act fairly quickly after the change is implemented. I'm going to give you an example. Let's say you take a pay cut, or a pay cut is implemented today. If you're going to say, well, 6 months from now, well, you know what? I don't like this pay cut, so I'm going to pursue a constructive dismissal. Too late, of course, because by then you're considered to have accepted the pay cut. So usually when it comes to something like that, you would have a few weeks, 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks to pursue it, to say, no, I'm not accepting it. So you can try it for a little bit of period of time, but beyond that, if you continue beyond a few weeks, you're considered to have accepted the change, you're stuck, and you can't go back. So if you're now looking at different hours, maybe your shift has changed. You used to work day shifts, now you're working afternoons.
Right.
Well, if you want to continue working, sure, you can. That's your new shift, and away you go. But if you're not comfortable with that, if that's not what you're willing to do, you should pursue that constructive dismissal now. Don't wait. That means you have to call me now. We'll get you out of there. We'll get you compensation. Not a problem. Actually, quite easy to do. But you have to act on it quickly. So time is not your friend here. But the best advice I'm ever going to give you here with respect to constructive dismissal is this. Don't quit first and then call me second.
Right.
If you think you're in a constructive dismissal situation before you quit, before you walk out the door in protest, that's when you call me, because we want to do it right. We want to do this properly. So that's my best advice.
Now, in these situations where you're saying you resign, you quit, I mean, you're going to get severance even though you pulled the plug because of a constructive dismissal. In that regard, do you still get EI?
So there's a concept in EI which is called quitting for good reason. So if we can show that you quit for good reason, maybe because your job has changed, your hours, your compensation, or because your boss threatened you or bullied you to doing it, then yes, you can get EI as well. Absolutely. So the default with EI is if you leave, you don't get EI. But if we can show to EI that, yeah, I left, but here's why. I didn't leave just because. I left because something happened. I was threatened. I was told to. The job changed. Then yes, EI is going to say you quit for good reason. And because you quit for good reason, you'll get EI. And that, of course, is significant. You can get a year's worth of EI. So very, very important that if you do end up resigning, not because you wanted to, but because you felt you had to, that you call. Let's talk about it. It's not just about severance, which is, of course, extremely important. It's also about EI, which could be for another year's pay. So important, important call to make.
And we always say that, you know, so many things you learn on this show every week for the complete hour can be reinforced. In fact, you can discover even more by going to pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. Tons of topics on there, the stuff we talk about on the show. You can read at your own pace. You can learn it. You can use the severance calculator. You can also reach out and have contact with Lior and his crew from that website as well. It's free, of course, pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. Want to get to Beth. First email of the show says, hey guys, my husband works in construction. Oh, here we go. He has never been laid off in 10 years, but his employer just gave him notice of a layoff saying that he may be called back to work in May. He may be. What can he do?
Well, I'm laughing, but I understand this is not funny at all, because I'm only laughing out of frustration, because I hear this so often. There's this misconception out there that if you work in construction, you can be laid off temporarily, you can be let go without pay, your employer essentially can do whatever it wants. Wrong, false, not true at all. So if you're working in construction, you have the same rights as every other employee. And if you haven't been laid off, means that if you are now laid off temporarily, you can accept it and maybe hope you're going to go back to work in May, or you can treat that as a termination now. So Beth's husband can wait and see what happens in May. That's, you know, I don't know, 6 months from now, however long it is. But he can also choose to treat his employment now as being terminated, get severance now and not wait. So yes, construction employees do get severance. Construction employees do have a right to treat a layoff, a temporary layoff, as a termination. Now, the exception to this temporary layoff is if you work a job that's seasonal and every year you get laid off and then you get called back to work. So if you work a seasonal job, then that's fine, that it's implied that your employer can lay you off temporarily. But clearly Beth's husband is not working a seasonal job because he's never been laid off, I guess she said, in 10 years. Yeah. So that's not a seasonal job, meaning if he's laid off now, he gets paid. He can treat that as a termination. Don't believe those misconceptions when it comes to construction employees.
Yeah, we often talk about being laid off. Oh, that's okay. I don't mind that. But it's 100% pay cut, you know, as opposed to taking a 50% pay cut if they told you they're gonna lop off half your salary. Why would you tolerate that, right?
Exactly. So if I told any employee that, you know, you're going to take a 50% pay cut, I think any employee and any employer are going to know, clearly you can't do that. Clearly it can't be legal to cut someone's pay by 50%. And you're right, it's not legal. So why would it be legal to cut someone's pay by 100%? Obviously not. Because if that was legal, then it would be an absurd situation. You know what, employee, we've cut your pay by 95%, but not 100, so you're fine. No, so it doesn't work that way. So because of that, if you're laid off temporarily, that's a 100% reduction. You can treat that as a termination of your employment. Construction employee, part-time employee, temporary employee, all those things that applies to you.
And with that, we'll get down to Frank here. Get him in before we take a break. Says Frank, Frank, hey guys, my former employer found out that I'm working for a competitor of theirs and is now threatening to take legal action against me. Any advice for a guy?
Well, my best advice is, you know, see if you can find a time machine, go back in time and not do it, because it's not something you should ever be doing, working for a competitor while you're working for your employer. Now, in some situations, your employer may not care. And in that case, if you're honest with them and tell them, they may be just fine with it. You know, listen, if you're working at a fast food restaurant, and on the weekends you work at a different fast food restaurant, I don't think they're going to care too much. So that should be fine. But beyond that, yeah, an employer would expect you to if you're working for them, they pay you to benefit them, not to benefit their competitor. So it's a very bad idea to work secretly for a competitor of your employer. So not a good idea. And that could be cause for dismissal and potentially for other legal action. So, you know, I certainly would try to tell the employer here, yes, I did it, but I didn't reveal confidential information. I didn't hurt you in any way, shape, or form. I was just doing that to support my family. Hopefully, most employers will be understanding and not going to want to escalate this. But definitely, John, not a good idea, not at all, to work for a competitor of your employer while employed by them. If you're honest, if you tell them and they're fine, then do that. Otherwise, avoid it.
Anything like that, you should always go to your employment agreement first, right? Because there'd be a non-compete in there, you know, all those different things that could get you in some hot water too, right?
Employment agreement, always a starting point, always a good idea to look at to see what you're allowed to or not do. But I will say this, even in situations where your employment agreement is silent on this issue, or maybe you don't have an employment agreement, never a good idea to work for a competitor while working for your employer.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Thank you for hanging in. You bet we are back indeed. Toll free 1-877-399-9898 to call us right now. Get in on the remaining few minutes of the show. We'd love to get you on air. Beyond that, you can always reach out to Leor and his team. Email is help@employmentlawyer.ca and then 1-855-821-5900. Before we get back to our emails here, I want to get to Wayne on the line and talking to us. Wayne, thank you so much for standing by for a moment. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
I'm a contract operator in the oil field, and I was with a company for 4 years. Then a new company bought us, and now within a year and a half, they're selling us again, our area. And every time we switch companies, us contractors don't get any kind of severance.
So when you continue working with the buyer, you can continue in your job. Is that right?
Yes.
So in a situation where you continue working with the buyer, the law considers your employment as not being terminated. It's continuous. And because it's continuous, severance doesn't have to get paid. You would get severance, of course, if you lost your job as a result of the sale. So if the buyer of the business didn't take you on, then you absolutely would be owed severance. But because you continued working, your employment in the eyes of the law has never ended. It simply continued. The buyer inherited your service. So if you're ever let go, they're going to have to account of the time you had even with the previous companies. But because of that, Wayne, severance doesn't get paid as a result of the sale.
So if I don't have a job when we're done with this sale, they have to take my year's service into account for the severance.
Exactly. So right now, if you have, I don't know, 5.5, 6 years, whatever it is, with both previous companies, and if you're let go tomorrow, then your severance is going to be based on those 6 years, not just the last year and a half. And that's important, because that could be the difference between getting 3 months severance and getting 10 months severance. So that's why if at some point you do lose your job, reach out to me, because we want to make sure that the severance that you got accounted for all the time that you had, not just the last stretch.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate it, pal. And enjoy the remainder of your weekend to reach out any further. And you probably will to have a further conversation with Leo and his team. You can do so 1-855-821-5900. That's an important thing we're talking about. And quite often, Leo, we've mentioned on this show before, when you're, especially if you're you know, headhunted from another employer to go over to their place and start working for them, that employment contract and what can be in there can be so either beneficial or deadly. If you're a, you know, 10, 20, 30 year guy or girl, and all of a sudden they say, you know, you can come join us, but we don't want to recognize your previous service, massive red flag, right?
So an employment agreement is something you should always be watchful for, mindful for, of, and because your employment agreement, believe it or not, is not your friend. An employment agreement generally is not something you want to have if you're an employee. Your employer desperately should want to have it. You as an employee are better off on a handshake deal, okay? You're better off writing something on the back of the napkin and everyone initials it. That is better, 10 times better than having a 10-page employment agreement, because that 10-page employment agreement is only going to take rights away that you would otherwise have. But it's especially important to pay attention to that agreement if you were recruited from another job, or if your business is sold and you continue working with the buyer. And the reason for that is if you're recruited from another job, you may have enhanced severance rights down the road. Same thing if you're continue working with a buyer in a sales in a sale of a business position. So oftentimes what an employer is going to do is going to have you sign an employment agreement that gives away those rights. So definitely, if you're recruited from another job, you're working, you're fine, headhunter comes to you or another company comes to you to convince you to consider an offer from them, that document they want you to sign, that employment agreement, massively, massively important. Do not, under any circumstances, sign it without having me see it first. Let me see it, tell you what it does, what it means, and how it impacts you. If it's great, I'll tell you it's great, sign away and be happy. If it's not, then we can talk about how we negotiate it. But don't give up your rights without even realizing that that's what you're doing.
I want to grab an email from Brian again anytime. It's help@employmentlawyer.ca. It says, hey, Leo, I've worked for a company for 3 years in a sales position, selling windows and doors. I was just let go. They consider me to be an independent contractor. I worked exclusively for them full-time, but did not have an office, and I paid my own expenses. Am I entitled to severance?
Listen, I've seen this exact scenario more times than I can ever hope to count, okay? Someone is misclassified as a contractor, and then they're let go, and the company says, no, contractor, not an employee, so we don't have to pay you severance. Nonsense. Remember what I said right at the beginning of the show. If you look like an employee and you act like an employee, hey, guess what? You are an employee. It doesn't matter what piece of paper you signed. It doesn't matter how you pay your taxes or if the company deducts taxes. None of that matters. What matters is, who do you work for? How regularly do you work for them? Do you have consistent hours? Do you work for others? Based on all those factors, if you are an employee, then the law says you have the rights of an employee. That means, just like in Brian's situation, severance. Yeah, he's an employee, works exclusively full-time for a company. He's an employee. He's owed severance. But there could be other rights here. Vacation pay, overtime pay, holiday pay, EI even now when he's let go. So all these rights. So John mentioned pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. And, you know, we often talk about pocketemploymentlawyer.ca for the severance calculator that we have there. But there's other tools there, and one of them is a tool that allows you to find out if you're an employee or an independent contractor. So if you're not sure and you're listening to me right now and saying, wait a second, I always assumed I was a contractor, but based on what Lior is saying here, maybe I'm actually an employee. Well, easy to find out. Grab your smartphone, go to pocketemploymentlawyer.ca, use the independent contractor tool there, you answer a few questions, and it's going to tell you if you're an employee or a contractor. Of course, it's free. Of course, it's anonymous. And it's just there for your information. And it's an important thing to understand. Employee has all the rights that employment law provides. A contractor doesn't. So you have to understand which one you really are.
Yeah, a lot of people can say, yeah, it's okay, Lior. My boss is also a good buddy of mine. We handshake this deal, so I'm just going to go on as a contractor. I don't see the problem.
Well, think about it this way. If it was that simple, then everyone could be a contractor, right? Why would anyone actually want to be an employee, right? Because you can save money on taxes. The company saves a bunch of money too, but it doesn't work that way. You don't get to decide what you are. The company that you work for doesn't get to decide what you are. The law makes that decision. Mm-hmm. And what the law says is, from our perspective, is if you have all the markers of an employee, we're going to say you're an employee. And by the way, John, the employment law is one thing. What about CRA? If you've been misclassified, if at some point you're audited or CRA takes a closer look at what you're doing, they're going to say, well, wait a second. All these years, Mr. Person, you've been telling us you're a contractor. You've been filing your taxes like a contractor. You've been deducting your gas and mortgage and home office. But you were an employee. So you weren't doing this properly. So guess what? You owe us a bunch of money now. And we're not happy that you've done that. So we're going to also make you pay some penalties and interest. So not a good thing to do. So find out now, really, if you're an employee or a contractor before you make any assumptions.
We'll get to Melissa finally in the last moment of the show here. Says, Lior, I signed my severance offer because my employer told me that if I didn't, I wouldn't get paid anything. I just use your severance calculator and it says I'm owed another $35,000. What do I do?
Oh, my God, John, you had to end the show with that email. My gosh, I hate emails like that, questions like that. And unfortunately, I get them at least once a week because I can't help in that situation. If you've accepted that severance offer because you didn't know any better, because you're told that you're not going to get more, once you've signed it, once you put your name on that piece of paper, you can't take it back. You can't say that it was a mistake. You can't say that I didn't know. You have to live by it. So please don't do that. Don't let that happen. I understand the pressure. I understand you feel like you have to. I understand that it's an uncomfortable situation. I get it. But we're talking about the law. We're talking about legal rights and money that you are legally owed. Do the smart thing. If you're let go, despite that pressure, call me. Let's find out how much you're really owed. Or use the severance calculator at pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. Do that rather than sign it. Once you sign it, as much as I want to, I can't help you.
That is it for another day. Appreciate you tuning in. Thank you, Wayne, for the phone call and all your emails as well. help@employmentlawyer.ca is how you do that. And as Lior said, pocketemploymentlawyer.ca, the website. And then reach out by phone, 1-855-821-5900. We'll catch you next time in the Employment Law Show.
The proceeding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.